fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful, restful, worshipful weekend, opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day together. It's such an important thing in our lives, and the church has worked so hard over the last few decades to reclaim the Lord's Day in a culture that's forgotten it. I remember as a child, vivid memories of living in a small town, New Ulm, Minnesota. When I was a child on a Sunday, come home from church, the whole day it just seemed like the entire town was asleep, just resting. You know, people would be out for walks, people may be playing in the park, but all the businesses were shut down. And it was really because of the cultural respect for the Lord's Day. And that whole respect came from Catholics, Christians who understood the importance of the Lord's Day and setting it apart as a day of rest, being in God's rhythm, not of work and rest, and really having our work come out of our rest. And it's such an important part of having a kind of right perspective, eternal perspective, and sanity. But our culture is radically different now. It's so driven by consumerism, it's more secularized than ever. And God is kind of pushed to the margins. And now we live in a world that's demanding that we turn Sunday into another Saturday, something like that. It's a battle, but one of the things that it's easy to forget is not only that God commands us to set aside the Lord's Day and make it a day of rest, but how much we actually need the rest to be with God, to be restored, so that the mission we have, entering into the world again Monday through Friday, in our work, our career, whatever it is, that we come from a place of refreshment in the Lord, confidence in Him, clarity about our identity, being able to walk in peace, and seeing that whole week, Monday through Friday, in the larger picture of our lives that we get by worshiping the Lord on Sunday, spending time with family, getting the rest that we need and allow our spirits to be restored and our minds to be refreshed and renewed so that we can have the right kind of perspective. It's a battle worth fighting. It really is. And it's important to be able to, in some way, set aside the Lord's Day every week with your family, resist as much as you can all the distractions, so that you as a family can have a pattern of life. It's part of how we build the domestic church, the call to do that very thing. It's very hard to build a domestic church if Sunday is pretty much just like any other day of the week, other than getting to Mass for 50 minutes, getting in and out, but then off and running again. It's a difficult thing in a culture that's forgotten it. But I think one of the ways that the Holy Spirit is at work in the church and the prophetic word of God is coming to us is to call us to have the courage to be countercultural and to be able to live the way of life that Jesus modeled for us and has called us to and now the church wants to lead us into. A few weeks back, we had the reading of the Transfiguration of Jesus at Sunday Mass. And it got me thinking about Jesus and his glory and the revelation of his glory and how much, and I felt my heart burning with a conviction of how much God the Father wants his beloved Son, Jesus, to be known and to be communicated, how much God the Father wants to help us communicate Christ to others, and he wants to show forth the glory and the majesty that belongs to Jesus. What I thought I'd do today and maybe this week is talk about the glory of the Lord a little bit. I want to begin with the reading from Matthew chapter 17, which is the story of the Transfiguration. So here it is, verse 1, chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain apart. This is the pattern of how God works with his people and those he's called in a special way throughout history, the history of salvation, the economy of God. Think about Mount Sinai, how the Lord called Moses up to the mountain. So the top of the mountain, the special mountain, is a place of God's revelation, of a theophany. And so here Jesus brings Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, the great prophets, right, talking to him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is well that we're here with you. If you wish, I'll make three booths here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter's such a pragmatic and impulsive guy, isn't he? He's just he just jumps in and whatever's going on inside him comes out. But he's captured by this extraordinary event, this theophany, this act of God, this revelation that's happening right before their eyes. And here Jesus is speaking with the great prophets, Moses and Elijah. The reading goes on, verse 5. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one of the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This particular hearing of the gospel at Mass a few weeks back, this last line was the one that hit me. Just thinking about Peter and James and John and how transformed they were by the experience and how filled with God and awe and the healthy fear of God and an amazing joy and freedom that comes with a healthy fear of God. And it purifies. And you could see their hearts and minds purified by this astounding experience. And you can imagine how much Peter wanted to talk about it, to tell everybody, to tell the rest of the apostles, to tell the disciples, to tell everybody that he knew what he saw. And not only, yeah, I was on the mountain with James and John, and hey, I was there. And Jesus tells them, don't say a word. Don't tell anybody. He commanded them until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. The raising of Jesus Christ from the dead is the revelation of the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus' ministry, his signs and wonders were manifestations of his glory, his power over evil, over demonized people, over Satan and his kingdom, manifestation of Jesus' glory, his renown, his power, his majesty. You get glimpses of it at different times. His glory is revealed ultimately in the resurrection and his ascension in his human flesh into the presence of God the Father, where he took his place seated at the right hand of God. And as he returned, imagine his return to glory. The story of Jesus is, as 1 John tells us, the apostles will tell us time and again, what they saw, what they heard, and what they wanted to communicate. They were faithful to that communication of describing and proclaiming exactly what they heard and then drawing the implications of what they preached in the lives of the people who heard by calling them to repentance, to turn their life to Christ, because he's the one who's the Lord of all. He's the one who is sent by God. He's the only Savior of the world. And so, for example, 1 John chapter 4, John says, "We have seen for ourselves, and we can testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." When anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Back to the Transfiguration reading. What is it? God the Father. What is he saying? "This is my beloved Son." He's revealing to the apostles the utter uniqueness of Jesus and his relationship with the Father. Jesus has come to reveal the Father. The Father wants to reveal the glory of his beloved Son. He wants everybody to see Jesus. That's why the church exists. That's why the Catholic Church exists, to reveal Jesus to the world and to testify, just as the apostles testified, to the reality of the majesty of Jesus and his sonship. Peter goes on later in his letter, 2 Peter. He talks about this experience. Now, Jesus has risen from the dead. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. Peter saw the resurrection, just as Jesus said, "Don't say a word about what you saw." That is the Father revealing my glory and revealing who I am. "Don't say a word about it until the Son of Man is raised." The raising of Jesus Christ from the dead is the visible vindication of everything that Jesus proclaimed about who he is. It's the victory of Christ, the triumph of Christ over death. And it's Jesus Christ revealed as the beginning of the new creation. He's the conqueror that destroyed the powers of sin and death, and he rises from the dead, triumphant in glory, and he's now revealed his majesty and his glory as the Lord who passed from death to life, who passes through death and takes with him fallen human nature. He takes you, the apostles will preach, he takes you and he takes me with him. All those who believe, as John said, he gives power to become children of God. In the resurrection, we can see what God the Father has planned through giving us his beloved Son, that he would come not only to take away sin and to destroy everything that has led the human race into slavery and captivity and really made us enemies of God, and which produces death in us. What we see is in Jesus is the future, is the beginning of the new creation. God's action to save a race of people that had fallen from glory, made in God's image and likeness, destined to share in God's life and therefore participate in some way in his glory. But because of sin and rebellion and refusal to live as children of God, we fell from God's glory. And it's something we can't achieve on our own. We can't reach it by our own strength and our own wisdom. God condescends to us in his beloved Son to offer us a way to share in his glory. Jesus makes it possible because he becomes one of us, he who dwelled in eternal light forever. I mean, he became one of us, and he was like us in every way but sin, and he destroyed all that enslaved and bound us so we could be set free for a purpose. What's that purpose? To become children of God, and the glory to become a child of God is to share in that new thing that Jesus is doing. He's recreating. He's bringing about a new creation. A new humanity is literally born in the person of Jesus. And sharing in his glory means receiving the gift of what belongs to Jesus, his new life. And not only did he rise from the dead, but he entered into glory, the church teaches us. He entered into glory of the Father. And the Son, who always shared in the glory of the Father, now shares in it as one of us. He became one of us for that very purpose, so we can be restored to glory. We can share in the glory that belongs to Jesus Christ. Friends, no one else can do that. No power, no authority, no wise man. Money can't do it. Science can't do it. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. Only Jesus Christ can give us a share in God's life and can literally has the power to lead us to glory. So Jesus says to us, everyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is the gift above all other gifts, and it's a gift for you. It's a gift you're called to walk in and live in until he brings you home to glory. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.